I believed we as humans are wired for redemption. I was just talking to someone the other day. We talked about all the different algorithms and how frustrating it is to try to keep up with the man-made algorithms that seem to change every day. And I think the trump card for every man-made algorithm is understanding that algorithms bow at the feet of redemption, that we create man-made algorithms to resemble and attract the very essence of what God has put inside of us, a desire for relationship, a desire for redemption. And so redemptive content is clearly communicating your mission to your audience and leading people from one step in their journey to the next. Because everybody in a mission that is inherently good, everybody is on the journey. And everybody's probably at a different place in their journey. And so redemptive content is resources, stories, like we talked about before, that empower people to go from step two to step three, from step four to step five, from step seven to step eight.
Hey folks, thanks so much for listening to the Tension Podcast. I'm so incredibly grateful today to have as my guest, Jeremy Reyes. Jeremy is an absolutely incredible connection. I'm so excited for you to hear about his story. He is a graduate of Southeastern University with a degree in business management. And he's also the founder of BrandSpark Creative Solutions, a company he ran before he turned it completely off. And he's going to share about how he killed that business. And I think you're going to be absolutely inspired. And once he turned that business off, he founded Purpose Beyond Profit. Purpose Beyond Profit helps entrepreneurs grow profitable brands that love people. Jeremy is an absolutely incredible individual. I think that most people are going to be blown away by the power in this story. They're going to be convicted. There's so much I could say, but I'm hoping that you walk away from this conversation with a new understanding about what it looks like to live in tension and to follow a mission that is far greater than anything else in your life. So, without any more conversation from me, here's my conversation with Jeremy Reyes.
I think the best way for people to understand you and your story is to hear what are those two ideas that you in particular hold that most people think these two concepts, they can't go together. What do you believe are those two ideas that you like to hold in tension?
Yeah. Man, that's such a good question. And I love the entire concept of the podcast because we wrestle so much as human beings with trying to understand how God set us up as human beings and how God set up the world. And one of the things that I really struggled with and still do from time to time is this idea of purpose and profit. And I believed for so long that you had to pick between one or the other. And in my own journey, just growing up in a Christian home, seeing my dad being an entrepreneur, doing whatever it took to put food on the table, learning a lot from him, I would hear, and it was framed to me in such a way where they'd be like, your dad, he lost this deal because he wouldn't fudge these numbers, or he lost this deal because he wouldn't budge on this ethical issue. And so a lot of people look up to my dad, including myself, as someone who was integral in business. And so I kind of had the benefit of growing up in that entrepreneurial landscape. And then I switched into this hero complex of, I am going to bring truth and love to the marketing industry. And it was going to be me and it's going to be my solutions. And I just was going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and just figure it out and save the world and, you know, all this. And I started a marketing agency in 2018 and fell flat on my face, didn't know what I was doing. Huge humbling experience. I had this, what I thought was a clear purpose and clear intention of bringing truth and love to the marketing industry. And over the course of this next several years, God was just reaffirming to me, I didn't necessarily want you to change the world. Primarily, I just wanted to change you. And that hit me like a dagger in the heart. I was like, oh, like, I don't want to be the bottom of the message totem pole. Like, I want to be a vessel for other people's change. I don't want to be the person who has to do the hard work, right? Like, we always made fun of my younger brother in our family. There's a pretty big gap between he and I. My parents would obviously teach me, you know, being raised in that home. And I would kind of pass on some of that to my younger brother just because there's a giant gap there, age gap. And my younger brother started to actually tell like our Google Home and our dog, you know, what to do. And it's funny because we made this realization. The reason he was doing that is because everybody was telling him what to do. He wanted someone else to tell what to do. And I think I'm just like my younger brother. Like when God is teaching me these hard truths and is teaching me how his word applies to business, my first thought is, oh, I can't wait to share this with other people. And God's like, no, this is for you. I want to teach you this. And so I had to go through a long journey of understanding that I had to accept God's love for myself if I was ever going to go out and share that love with anybody else. And so that was a journey in and of itself. What changed everything for me from being a profit-centered business, I was making $15,000 a month. We bought a house, bought a car, did the vacations. We converted a car into a camper and traveled. We had the time, freedom, the passive income that all the marketing experts talk about. They say, you know, you're successful when you hit six figures and you're not if you don't. And so I put my head down and just did the grit and grind thing and just pursued money and just chased it as hard and fast as I could. Whatever would make the next dollar, that's what I did. That was my mission. And obviously, after doing that for like several years, God was convicting me, but I kept on putting that on the back burner. You know, and I also found other Christian business leaders who could help justify that rationale. They would be like, hey, Jeremy, you're making a lot of money. There's a lot of really cool stuff that you can do with this money. And so we gave money away to charity and churches, and we had all these like little practices and policies you would squeeze into the business to make it ethical and moral and loving to people. And God just kept on telling me, I don't want you to just glorify me with the money that you make. I want you to glorify me and the way in which you make money. And that wrecked me. And eventually that led to God just telling me, I want you to destroy this idol that you have built. We had built a business that was, again, just all about making money. We built out email marketing software that purposely evaded Google spam filters so that we could spam people through email. Whatever decisions that we could make that would help us scale quicker, those are the decisions that we made. Built my team to do exactly that. So when God was showing me, hey, I actually want you to glorify me the way in which you're making money. And I want you to destroy this idol. Walking, like shutting that down, going from 15,000 a month to zero, completely destroying it. I remember sending out this email to all of my past customers, current customers, and future prospects. And I said, hey, I built this entire business on this false belief that the purpose of business is to make money. And I couldn't have been further from the truth. I'm understanding now more and more that the purpose of business is actually to love people, and profit is a powerful tool in that process, but it's not the mission. And so I think the way that you reconcile that, the way that I've reconciled that tension between purpose and profit, is understanding that purpose comes first. And if our purpose in life, as a Christian personally, I believe my purpose in life is to love God and love people. And if that's my purpose in life, that also has to be the purpose of my business, because my business is just one expression or one avenue for me to fulfill my life purpose. And so what does it look like to bring that business underneath the umbrella of my life purpose? What would that look like? What kind of alignment would that look like? And what would the process be for doing that? And I started to just ask God after I destroyed that business, took several months off, and just kept on asking God that question of what would it look like to bring this business underneath this purpose that you've given me in my life? And one of the things that really changed from a mindset perspective was this idea of, I think entrepreneurs, not just myself, we have an incredible ability to see needs in the marketplace. And it's one thing to see needs and exploit those needs, and it's another thing to see the person behind the need. And one of the biggest things I had done in my previous business was I fell out of love with my customer. Absolutely just fell out of love with serving the people that I was positioned to serve, from my customers to our vendors, to our contractors, to our employees. And so down the line, they were a tool. They were a tool. The people became the tool for the mission of making money instead of loving people being the mission, and profit as the tool in that process. So I think that's the reconciliation, is what is the hierarchy? You know, which one comes first? Is it loving people or is it making money? And which is the tool of the other? And if you're not clear on it, I mean, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. So the reality is you have a master. We're usually just not very honest with ourselves about what that master is.
So take me back to the moment that you are sitting there typing that email to all of your clients and prospects. I'm really interested in how people responded to that huge decision where you had this conviction in your life and you got to this point where you decided to shut everything down. I'm really interested, one, in how people responded and what was happening in your heart and in your life. I can't imagine how maybe your wife felt or your family and others around you, but what was the general response of people and how was your heart feeling in that moment? How did you get through that? Because I think there's got to be a lot of people who just think and resonate with what you're saying. That's one thing, like, yes, absolutely, Jeremy, I totally agree with that. I really want to live that way. I acknowledge that mentally, but to actually step out there and do it, that seems almost impossible.
Yeah. One of the things when people tell me, "Man, Jeremy, that was so courageous of you," I look back at the faithfulness of God and say, it is absolutely the faithfulness of God that He makes the idols in our lives so unsatisfying, so miserable. During my most profitable months, that I was the most miserable I've ever been in my entire life. And I think that's the grace of God. My pastor said a couple of weeks ago, he says, sometimes God gives you what you want to just to show you it's not it. And so I got what I wanted. I hit all the financial metrics that I thought that I needed to be happy and inevitably kept on raising those metrics, you know, and it ended up being on this hamster wheel of never being satisfied, running out of motivation, not wanting to go on sales calls with customers because I didn't believe in what I was doing anymore. I knew that I was using them as a tool, you know, subconsciously. And so the response, I was so scared. I was so scared because I was admitting to the people who had paid me money that I was using them as a tool. And there were several people, probably about a dozen people who were angry, confused, frustrated. And I don't blame them one bit. They were like, dude, this is, you taught us, like you showed us that this was how to do business. And now you're telling me like you've achieved the success and now you're going to take away the bridge to get there. Like, how dare you? There was family members and friends that just didn't understand. There was a lot of people who said, look, man, just by any means, make your money. And just the justification that I'd gotten before was just, you know, glorify God with the money that you make from this, right? So I got a lot of those responses. But for every one of those responses, there was 100 people more who were like, that is exactly how I feel. I mean, we talked about right before we started recording of just how overwhelmed you are by the amount of people who are wrestling with this tension. And people who have the humility to look introspectively and really ask themselves what their master is and what their real mission in their business is, not the mission you put on your website, but the actual mission that you're running your business by. So the response I got was, yes, me too. I know exactly what that's like. I've wrestled with this myself. Yeah, it gave me such a platform to be able to just share the little bit of knowledge that I had. At that point, I didn't know what building a business in alignment looked like. I didn't know what building a purposeful business truly was. And so my message at that point was, I know it's not this. I know I want to submit it underneath this purpose that God has given me for my entire life. And I have no idea how to get there yet, but this is where I'm at. And I mean, people just flocked to that and said, yeah, let's go on this journey together. Let's figure this out. And so for the next 6 months, it was just going down to my office and opening my journal and writing down, God, what do you want from me? And over time, God was like, I've given you so much skill. Like, I've given you the ability to do marketing. I've given you the ability to do sales. I've given you these abilities. You were just using them in the wrong context. And what I want you to do is completely flip your business model upside down. We could talk more about that, but that was the response I got was, let's get in this journey together. I want to be a part of it. And then my heart behind it was gut-wrenching. I remember when God was like, I want you to destroy your business. My first thought was, okay, I'll get rid of it. So I was like, okay, I'll sell it. So I put it on these marketplaces. I was like, I'm going to make my one last big cash grab. And I got, you know, some six-figure offers. And I was like, this is going to be amazing. I'll be able to take time away from the business. I thought of all the cool stuff that we could do with that money, you know, that last big cash grab. And God's like, no. I want you to destroy it. And so 5 minutes before my sales meeting with the people who were interested in buying it, just weeping on the floor, because I knew what God was calling me to do. And so I still went on that sales call. And it didn't end up working out by the grace of God. And there was other opportunities that came up after that, that at that point, I was finally ready to just take that step in faith. And you asked about my family. I did have my wife that I was going to be stepping away from the thing that was providing for our family. It was a huge leap of faith. And I think for entrepreneurs, it always is. Like, I run into a lot of entrepreneurs who kind of like to wait for the perfect circumstances to be set up and make a massive pivot. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs who want to make that massive pivot, And the reality is, it is always, always a leap of faith. And ultimately, just have to come from a humble surrender to God that I don't know how this is going to work out, but I trust that your ways are higher than my ways. I have a vision for how I want this to go. But at the end of the day, I know it's probably not going to go that way. I know it's going to be better in the long run. And that takes a ton of faith. And I would say that was a moment for me, but it's still a journey and living by that day by day, you know, because it's not just one leap. It's now there's a ton of baby steps of just being faithfully obedient to the little things he's calling me to on a day-to-day basis. I like to tell my students all the time that we never graduate from alignment. It just gets deeper. Same with clarity. You know, we never graduate. We never say we won at clarity. We never say we won at loving people. Ideally, we just get better at it. But even as we get better at it, we realize how broken we really are. The deeper we dive into our own intentions, which is really what God is after, is our intentions, our motivations, our affections. The deeper we get into really looking at what that is, the more we realize just how dependent we have to be. And the reality is we are dependent on God moment by moment.
Yeah. It just seems like you, in a huge way, were able to start answering the question of who do you want to become? Who does God want you to become in particular? And I think that message can apply to really anyone, because everybody needs that clarity. And it's so easy to go along with the crowd. And you mentioned it, that we get carried away and are told over and over again that we have to embrace a hustle culture. We need to have the six figures. We need to have the financial success. We need to have the time, the freedom. And all that boils down to just total control. We just want to have control over everything in our life. And it's so interesting. It could be conviction that brings us to the place that you came to. I think for many others, it's maybe a death in the family, serious illness, and you start to completely reorient all of your priorities. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much clarity comes when these huge situations occur. So you end up killing your business, go from $15,000 a month to zero. You journal for 6 months. What was the clear direction that you got on the other side? What happened after that?
I used to hate the expression of God downloads, because I believed God didn't speak like that. I believed that God spoke through his word. And so as far as building out a business in alignment with God's word, it was kind of nebulous and vague. But the more I was reading scripture, the more I was journaling, the more I was reading other people's interpretation of scripture, the more I realized that God has clearly set up the best way to do business. That actually loving people is the most sustainable thing you could do in your business. That actually having relationships beyond transactions is such a sustainable asset, right? It's actually profitable in the long term. Now, most of the time, it's not the most profitable thing to do in the short term. It is more profitable in the short term to just chase transactions. It's, you know, go the Grant Cardone style and just who has my money and just call a bunch of people. And if your goal is overnight success, then that might be the best path for you, but it will leave you feeling in a similar position that I was, most likely just feeling absolutely miserable and purposeless. But yeah, God has set up ourselves and the world in such a way where genuinely loving people, that's what really people are looking for, even beyond your products and services. They're actually thirsting for redemption. Yeah, there would be no businesses if there were no problems. And so all that business is, in its sustainable form, is helping people overcome problems. And all the best sales training in the world, it all boils down to one thing. They're trying to show you how you can trick your mind, or how you can pretend to genuinely care about the person on the other side of the phone call. And I think the best sales tactic that you can use is actually caring about the person on the other. You don't have to trick your brain. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to position yourself as a perfect expert. That's another beautiful thing of having a real mission that's not just the tool, like you mentioned, like impact, influence, power, money, those types of things that we like to center our business around, is you kind of have to position yourself as someone who's made it in order to be attractive to your audience. But when you're pursuing something like a real mission, like let's say servant leadership or loving people through business or building self-leadership or healthy routines, these different types of things, like you never graduate from it. And so you are someone who is in the journey with your audience. You are someone who's actually leading from empathy, because I believe God uses even our brokenness, our unfaithfulness, and like you described, some of the most worst moments in our life, and actually is redeeming it for our good and his glory. And so we're in the journey of that, and we're constantly experiencing it. And we don't really know what's around the corner, but we're staying one or two steps ahead of the people that we're leading and showing them the pathway out.
Are you looking for new ways to navigate the many tensions in your life? Do you want to learn how to embrace these tensions to create innovative solutions you never thought possible? Then you're going to want to check out the Tension Newsletter, dedicated to exploring all of the many, many tensions we encounter in life. Each week, we delve into topics like work-life balance, profit versus people, profit versus purpose, the political and social tensions that all impact us. Our contributors, including myself, will offer insights and practical advice on how to embrace these tensions and create solutions and innovations that can transform your life. So if you're ready to take your life to the next level and learn how to harness the power of tension to drive innovation and growth, I ask you to sign up for our newsletter today. You won't want to miss out on this incredible opportunity to explore the tensions that shape our lives and discover new ways to thrive as human beings directly to your inbox. All right, back to the show.
So how do you counsel those that are working with you who are trying to reconcile the tension of success in business while still taking care of either the people that work for you or taking care of their customers? Because I think a lot of people would hear what you're saying, and again, they would probably go back to, yeah, absolutely, that's for you, but this idea of maybe killing my business or shutting it down, that's not for me, and I'm going to keep making as much money as possible, and I'm just going to donate it to charity X, Y, and Z. I'm really interested in how you tend to respond to those people, because I assume those folks come into your cohorts and masterminds, and that's really what they're wrestling with and struggling with. And so how do you counsel and approach people that are still dealing with that tension? And they go, I just want to make as much money as possible. I don't care for people. Like, how do you challenge them?
Yeah, I think the biggest tragedy in entrepreneurship is chasing a definition of success that doesn't make you happy. Because that's what I did, in my own journey. And I think what people really need is, to your point, they really actually need to believe it for themselves. And I think a lot of times in the entrepreneurship space, you're kind of taught to take your solutions, go to the street corner, and just start shouting what people should and shouldn't do. And that's kind of your marketing plan. Like if you're an emotional health coach, you go, well, you should be taking care of yourself. It's like, well, if that's all that people needed, they probably would have done it a long time ago. And so what people really need is the truth that empowers them to action. James talks about this idea of faith without works is dead faith. And so your beliefs absolutely dictate your actions, and your actions are absolutely dictated by your beliefs. And so I try to reach people at a belief level. When they're struggling with that, the reality is they probably have this false belief that having a certain amount of money is going to make them happy. It's actually what they really want. And I think one of the most powerful tools that we have for combating those false beliefs is doing what Jesus did in his time in his ministry on earth, which was telling stories, telling parables. We understand truth through the lens of stories, through experiences. And so my own story, for example, when I shared earlier about how I shared my story and attracted just hundreds of people who are like, oh my gosh, yes, I know how that feels like. Stories really have the power to give people, yes, the pathway for redemption, but also helps people understand that I know where you're at and I can empathize where you're at with your problem. And I know where this leads to. And I think stories just have that incredible ability. And then also I think people experiencing truth for themselves. We intentionally created experiences for people that are free for them to get a taste and see glimpse of actually living in alignment is the best thing for me. And so if you can create experiences and tell stories for people to help them believe truth, those beliefs will necessarily change their actions, and those actions will change the results that they're getting. But you don't see that a lot of times in the entrepreneurship space. You mostly hear people talking about results and actions. And so I really do try to reach them at the belief level, just sharing my own story and then helping them just get that taste of what it's like to have that aha moment of being in alignment.
So what are some questions or activities that you recommend for people who want to have that clarity or get that type of alignment? What should they be doing or thinking about or asking themselves?
Yeah, the first thing is I like to share the framework that changed everything for me that really empowered me to make this shift, which is I love Venn diagrams. And there's a Venn diagram that God really gave to me. It's this idea of your mission and business is at the center of your life purpose, your knowledge and skill sets, and people that you're moved to compassion or empathy for. And so first we have to get clarity on what is your life purpose? Because if we're going to submit your business underneath the entire purpose of your life, we've got to be really clear on what your life purpose is, right? And so I've already shared as a Christian what that is for me is, as far as loving God and loving people. I think scripture is clear about that. And then the knowledge and skill sets, we just take inventory of what gifts have you been given, either through the difficult experiences that you've faced, or the hard skills that you have, or the soft skills that you have. Those are all gifts that you can actually use and steward in the context of your business. And then the last thing that we look at is empathy. And I ask the question, if you were in a room of 100 people that you didn't necessarily know, who was that one person that you naturally gravitate towards? Who is that person that you want to hear their problems? When they complain, you're not like, oh, not again, run away. But that person's like, no, I know what that's like. I know what that feels like. I'll never forget, I went to the same church for the first 25 years of my life, left when my wife and I got married and moved, came back to visit. And I was so excited to see my family and friends. And so I showed up, end of the service, we're talking, and everybody else is talking. And I naturally gravitate towards this woman who had just started a business. And we get to talking and I start to ask her questions and she's sharing her journey, sharing some of the roadblocks that she was having. And I'm just sharing my story and we're just trading, you know, back and forth. And like an hour and a half goes by, all my friends and family have left. And I'm driving home back to my house. And I'm like, I felt so guilty. I was like, I can't believe like I didn't talk to all these people that I was really excited to talk to. And I didn't even know this woman that well before I left. She was just an acquaintance. And I was like, you know, God has really put something in my heart that just naturally gravitates for people who are starting this entrepreneurship journey and are wrestling with that tension of purpose and profit. And I think it's just through our own experiences. I love working with purpose-driven entrepreneurs that 9 times out of 10, you're serving a group of people who are experiencing a problem that you yourself have faced. You can't duplicate that kind of empathy. God is using the brokenness in your life. God is using difficult experiences you've had in your life, and he wants to redeem it for good. He wants to be a beacon of hope and change to other people through the things that he's put you through. And so, yeah, it's walking through that, what I call the purpose inventory of your life purpose, your gifts, you know, through your knowledge and skill sets, and then people with empathy that you're moved towards, and then positioning your mission right at the center of those three things.
I love it. I mean, the image that comes into my mind is the tuning fork, you know, it's like having the tuning fork of your heart. And when the sound is right, you get that resonance. And it's like, I am certain that people are listening to this right now and they're feeling their heart resonate with what you're saying in the same way a tuning fork, when you get that right note, it resonates. I think there's something really, really powerful in that. And you do get that when you talk with certain people and you realize that the time is just blown by. You're still talking about this topic and you can think about it forever. You're really on to something. And it's so clear that this is an area that you have to dig into. I'm really interested in, you know, there's a couple of resources on your website where you talk about redemptive content. Can you talk a little bit about what in the world that means?
Sure. I believed we as humans are wired for redemption. I was just talking to someone the other day. We was talking about the different algorithms and how frustrating it is to try to keep up with the man-made algorithms that seem to change every day. And I think the trump card for every man-made algorithm is understanding that algorithms bow at the feet of redemption. That we create man-made algorithms to resemble and attract the very essence of what God has put inside of us, a desire for relationship, a desire for redemption. And so redemptive content is clearly communicating your mission to your audience and leading people from one step in their journey to the next. Because everybody in a mission that is inherently good, everybody is on the journey and everybody's probably at a different place in their journey. And so redemptive content is resources, stories, like we talked about before, that empower people to go from step two to step three, from step four to step five, from step seven to step eight, and even using your products and services as another means of that. If your products and services are at step eight, you would call people who are at step two or step three, quote unquote, bad leads. The reality is they are someone who is trying to pursue that mission. They're just not at that point where they're ready to buy. But if your mission is bigger than your products and services, they're in the journey with you. They are part of the movement. And so what does it look like to create resources to tell stories that empower people to take that first step? Like I was at when God was like, shut down the business like that. What if I reach someone at that stage? And so what if there were no bad leads, but it was people who I saw as bigger than a lead and I saw it as a journey and not a transaction? That's where redemptive content is. It's that bridge of helping people take that next step. So for example, one of the things that I created early on was a purpose beyond profit assessment. It came from this frustration of, okay, I want to be purposeful, but the only metric that I have to decide the success of my business right now is my bottom line. And I want to use different metrics. And so what metrics can I use? And so I created a purpose beyond profit assessment that measures in five different areas, from your mission clarity to your redemptive content, to your raving community, to your sustainable sales, to your team leadership. It measures all those different areas through self-assessment, where you're at in each of those different steps and what the next step is for you. And so it gives you a different metrics. It gives you a different scorecard to use to measure the success of your business beyond just your bottom line. So that's an example where someone may not be ready to hand over money to me, but it gives someone that aha moment. It gives someone like, okay, this is where I am and this might be the next step for me. And so again, it's just having relationships beyond those transactional moments. I believe, again, that really goes back to the profitable side of that's a really sustainable business asset to have actual movement of people who are pursuing the mission with you.
That's incredible. I'd love to hear really quickly if you have an example or two that you've seen of this in action, maybe a student of yours or a business, or somebody who's really taken this and applied it and started, maybe they've changed their business in such a way that it's gone from really profit driven or even manipulative to mission driven.
One of my first students, I think I can use her name because they publicly share their story now. They run a marketing agency and they were looking for the clients who could pay the most money. And that was their target audience, right? It's who has money. And so they started going through my program and we did the purpose inventory and we got to the empathy section. And they realized the people that they were empathetic towards were the exact people who they were turning away from their business. They were the smaller family-minded businesses and they didn't have as much money as the clients that they were working with initially. And so they completely pivoted their business to only work with that segment of audience that they really removed empathy and compassion for. And they were like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be profitable. I don't know how this is going to work. You know, and I think short term, their business did suffer making that pivot. Absolutely. But over time, I think they've either 4X or 5X their business since then, pursuing these people and customizing their products and services. Because I don't think the current structure of their business was built to support these people. But what we do is we actually define the people we want to serve and then customize our products and services to fit their specific needs. And so it allows you to pivot and change and adapt and use different tools to accomplish the mission. The problem with building a business around a tool is that you are limited by that tool. And so when the market changes or the tool changes, your entire business crumbles. But if you have a mission to serve these people, it gives you permission to use whatever tools that are at your disposal. And so they started to use all the different skill sets that they already had. They started to use all the cool tools and the fancy stuff that still comes out. They use all that, but they're leveraging it for the mission of serving those people and customizing to their needs. And because they have that empathy of serving those people, they're very in tune with the needs as they change. They're way ahead of the market because they're actually having conversations beyond the transaction with their audience. And they actually know what it feels like because they themselves are their own best case study. They're following their own frameworks. And I love the alignment that happens when you are your own best customer. You are in the journey and positioning yourself as so, even in your marketing, it allows you to speak vulnerably and authentically as I'm in this journey and I'm following my own frameworks. And that is extremely attractive, especially in a marketing place where you just don't see that often.
I love that. I think it's such a reminder too of how methods always change and principles never do, that phrase. Yes, the same thing too. You have to be purpose-driven. That's where it starts. And whenever I sit down with brand new employees or even when I do final interviews, I actually have this conversation with people where they come and I get to the very end of the interview and I always share with them the purpose of a business and my opinion of what the purpose of a business is. I usually start and I ask them, what do you think the purpose of a business is? And more often than not, they say to make money. That's the purpose of a business. And I think I've shared, we've talked before about this analogy that a few people have used, but this idea of money and profit, its role in the business is sort of like the role that blood has in our bodies. It's essential. It's absolutely essential. It has to, you got to have blood pumping through your veins in order to stay alive, but we never get up in the morning and say, I can't wait to pump some blood through my veins.
Right.
It's just not, it's essential, but it's not central to what we do. What's central to what we do is the mission, the purpose. And so that's when I turn and I say, we are a purpose-driven organization. In our case, we say our corporate purpose is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that's entrusted to us and have a positive impact or influence on all who come in contact with us.
Hmm.
And that's the kind of people that we're looking for. And I say to them over and over again, we actually don't even want people to work for us if you aren't purpose-driven. Yeah. And it's amazing how that just answers so many questions. And even businesses that aren't necessarily guided by one purpose or mission statement that's all about God. Think about Southwest Airlines and their decision to be a brand and their purpose. They could have mimicked everybody else that was in the marketplace, but mm-hmm. they always, and still do, sometimes they fail, but overall, they always choose to serve the customer, have mm-hmm. great customer service, and have low fares. And they make decisions, and it's so clear that if we're going to do that, that means that we're not going to buy a bunch of different types of airplanes. We are going to be the 737 people. That's what we do. And it's so interesting how that mission, centrality, all of that just guides everything. And you can use so many other examples, even Amazon and Jeff Bezos. And it is known for this customer obsession. This is our mission, is customer obsession, and how that obsession answers so many more questions. And so I think it's so interesting to me. And this is why I encourage people to not throw out this idea of leading with purpose, leading with mission, and say, oh, that's just for somebody who is a Christian. I think you are on to something. And I believe that this is just the way. Uppercase T, uppercase W. This is the way. Okay. So this is important. And you can't miss this. There are so many stories of businesses and business leaders that were not mission focused, bought into the wrong things, and failed. And they may have looked successful in the short term, but to use Simon Sinek's phrase, we're playing an infinite game.
Yes.
We're playing to stay in the game, and we're not playing a short term game. And I think that's also an element of those of us who have an eternal perspective that kind of gives us an advantage in this game. So, all that being said, I want to turn our attention for a second to a concept that I continue to wrestle with. And I don't necessarily have an answer for this, so I'm really interested in your perspective as well. I think a few weeks ago, I was having some conversations with some friends of mine that are very ambitious, very, I would consider, very successful. And they were sharing about some of their ambitions, but also their hesitation in even being ambitious because it felt prideful and arrogant. So I'd love to hear your perspective on how you think that we can have ambition without losing your soul or integrity in the process. Or maybe you believe there's just no way. Like you can't, you got to give up your ambitions. And that's okay if that's your answer, but I'm really interested. Do you think you can have huge ambition, like be the best, pursue really huge sales goals, and do it in such a way that you don't lose your soul or integrity in the process?
Such a good question. I think huge ambition depends on what you're ambitious towards. That is the ultimate qualifier of I am hugely ambitious. Everything that I do, I'm either all in or all out, 100% or 0%. So everything that I do, it is, in my mind, people would call me an ambitious person. But what is the ambition? It's kind of the same way we have to define success, right? Like, what is success? Is it six figures, or is it having a business that loves people and is ultimately satisfying and fulfilling and meaningful to you, right? And I think you could look at ambition the same way. But let's say ambition in this case, like you said, is the huge sales goals, right? I think vision is very easy. I think we glorify the position of the person who has vision. I think leadership is so much more than coming up with lofty goals and ideas of what could be or what should be in our own minds. It's very easy to paint a picture of what could happen in 5 years. It's very easy to paint a picture of what could happen in 10 years. And it's even easier to attach ourselves to those desired outcomes. And I think that is the greatest pitfall for misalignment, is attaching yourself to a desired outcome of how you think things should turn out. It's the opposite of surrender. So when people ask me, Jerry, where do you see Purpose Beyond Profit in 5 years? And I was just recently asked this by a friend of mine, and I didn't want to answer this way because it sounds so idealistic and cliche, but I genuinely believe this. I said, I've laid down and surrendered my idea of what should happen from this, and I just pursue my mission every day, day by day. My dad instilled this phrase into me that I didn't understand until the last like 2 years. He said, faithfulness in the little things is a big thing. And I think what he means by faithfulness in the little things is managing your heart and managing your aligned actions. And those are the things that you can control. So take 100% responsibility for the things you can control and take 0% responsibility for the things that you can't. I think when we try to take responsibility and measure our own success by a vision that we have imagined, we are putting undue pressure on ourselves to manufacture that result when you are in fact incapable of doing such. And so I've been relieved of the pressure of having goals that I think of how things, and I don't think it's bad to envision and to think of what could be or even what's possible. I don't think that's inherently bad, but as soon as you align your behavior and your decisions to that idea rather than to the mission that is inherently good, right? The milestone instead of the mission, you are setting yourself up for undue pressure and misalignment.
So true, because we believe that God is the one that controls the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
He's asked us to be faithful. And you read this in other materials as well. I think this is just another way of talking about be obsessed with the process and not the outcome.
Yeah.
The people that are actually successful, it's so interesting to see over and over and over again, they have an unbelievable love and obsession with the work.
Yes.
They love to write. One of my favorite examples, come back to this over and over, is Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe won championships, but he wasn't obsessed with the championships. He was obsessed with, he loved playing basketball. Michael Jordan loved playing basketball. It was his purpose, his knowledge and skills, and like what resonated in his heart all came together in this one area. That's what we're searching for. That's what we're looking at. And I wrote a brief article the other day about this, of hearing a story. Somebody had shared a story about this guy that was obsessed with mountain climbing and wanted to get to the peak, gets to the peak, high fives, you know, breaking the champagne. And then now looks around and goes, now what? What do we do?
Yep.
And he missed the whole journey, missed the climb, the enjoyment of seeing what was around him to see and learn through the experience. But if he had fallen in love with the journey, the hike, the climb, so much more enjoyment. And this is the difference between joy and happiness in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think that ambition is towards joy, and joy is something that can't be taken away from you.
Yes.
Happiness is fleeting. It can go away at any moment. So this is so encouraging and so exciting. And I love what you say on the website, and I'll kind of land the plane with this. You just say, we live in a business economy that uses people as a tool to love profit. We're helping grow a new economy that uses business to love people, because people are more than just a tool to make money. Loving people is the mission of business. And it starts with entrepreneurs who have a purpose beyond profit.
Yeah. You framed a beautiful tension between process and milestone. And it seems like you're pretty good at framing tensions, Tim, just in case you didn't know. I was reflecting on this a couple months ago, And I realized that when you do fall in love with the milestone, you actually grow a hatred for the process, because the process becomes the barrier to the thing that you think that you want. And so it is, in this scenario, I think it is either or. In this case of, if you love the process, you've surrendered the milestone. And if you love the milestone, you grow a hatred for the process. And so that's why I am a big proponent or advocate of saying, yeah, you can think about what could happen, and it's fun to do so, fun to have conversations around that. At the end of the day, we have to completely surrender that. So I just want to add that, because I think you framed that tension so beautifully.
So I'd love to just hand it over to you to wrap it up here. What would you encourage people to do? Obviously, I would encourage them to go check you out, and we'll put some notes down below. But overall, what is your call to entrepreneurs that maybe are resonating a ton with what you're hearing today? What is their next step?
What I would leave entrepreneurs with is, first, I want to communicate that I am not a perfect expert, and I have not graduated from my own frameworks. I would really challenge you to do what I'm doing myself on a day-to-day basis, and just asking, where is my heart? That's what God is after. I think you can do things at a surface level. Two people could do the same thing at the surface level, and one be terrible and one be absolutely amazing. And it goes to the deeper layer of what was the intention behind it. I think that's what God is really after. So just asking yourself, what are my intentions? What is my motivation? Where is my heart? Right. And I think one of the first steps in doing that, that I've curated a resource around, is that Purpose Beyond Profit assessment that is offered on my website at www.apurposebeyondprofit.com. And I also offer a mission clarity course for free as well that walks people through the first 4 weeks of my paid program absolutely free if they don't want the coaching that goes alongside of it. What I consistently get feedback on is, this is the most transformative work that I've done. And so I want to offer it to people who may not necessarily have the money to get coaching through it, and may not necessarily be able to get the handholding through it, but they want to ask themselves those questions of, what is my life purpose? Where am I empathetic? What are my gifts and skill sets? How do I find those things? How do I build out a business roadmap that's in alignment with that mission? How do I conduct customer research to understand where they are in their journey? And how can I build my business as a bridge between those problems that they're facing and the solution, the redemptive solution? So I would say the Mission Clarity course and the Purpose Beyond Profit assessment that are offered for free on my website would be the best place. Is that a good starting point?
I love it.
Hey folks, thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Tension Podcast. It would be fantastic if you would take just a couple of moments to leave a review or rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help the show. Thanks so much for listening. To find out more about the Tension Podcast, visit www.tensionpod.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Tim Sweetman.